This is Tansy Rayner Roberts from Galactic Chat, and I'm talking today to Bevan McGuinness. Bevan, how have you been enjoying SwanCon?
Oh, I'm loving it. I love SwanCon. It's good fun. It's a real blast every year.
And how many times have you been coming now?
Well, I hate to admit it, but this is only my fourth.
So you're still a newbie.
Still very much a newbie. There's someone around here that's been to like 30 or something. So
it's quite scary.
It is.
So what's been your highlight at the convention so far?
I love the panels. And I particularly love going to panels that about stuff I don't know anything about. Like yesterday I went to one about zombies. And despite the fact that I'm a spec fic writer, I don't get the zombie thing. I just don't get why they're scary. I just find them tacky and gross. But it was fascinating to listen to people who actually know the genre and find out what it is about zombies that's so cool. Yeah. I still don't find them cool, but I get it now. So that's much better. And then I went to one that I'm not going to tell my mother about. So, Mum, switch off now. About sex dolls, looking around to see if anyone was listening.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that on the program, I gotta say.
It was deeply cool. It was a really academic presentation on the history, psychology and pathology of sex dolls.
Wow.
And the users thereof. Fascinating. Really. Yeah. Academic paper.
I think I love listening to obsessive people, like people who have a particular...
Yes.
Deep knowledge of anything. It's interesting to me.
It is. Yeah. You can learn neat stuff. I learned a lot of stuff I didn't really want to know about.
So is that going to be in the next trilogy?
Going to be leaning in the general direction of no. No, there are certain things that I... No, not even in spec fic am I going to go there.
Okay.
It's just too scary.
Okay, well, can you tell me a little bit and tell our listeners about your work, about the kind of books that you write, and particularly the books you have out at the moment?
Okay, I write epic fantasy mostly. Mm-hmm. Epic fantasy basically in the context of world-shaking events, where something happens through a world and the main characters are involved in either ushering it in or stopping it or preventing it or fighting against it or something along those lines. So, yeah, epic fantasy. My first trilogy is called The Triumvirate. And that's been out for a few years now. And my new trilogy, which has just come out, says he, holding up the book so that the people on radio can see it.
Yeah, I totally can't see it.
Totally, of course not. Is currently out. It came out in December last year. And it's coming out in June and December, second, third book this year.
That's very cool. I noticed the books in trilogies are coming out a lot closer together these days.
They look at 6 months between books.
Mm. Is that a positive change, you think?
Or? Oh, yeah, I think so. Definitely. We fantasy writers, we invest and we invest and we want to find out what happens fairly quickly.
Absolutely. So what is it about your current trilogy that really, what is it that you love about it? What's the driving...
I like the characters.
Yeah.
I've created a couple of... Oh, that sounds incredibly pretentious.
No, just keep talking.
But I do. I like the characters.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed messing with them. There are four main players in the book. And the relationship between all four of them varies. It switches between through the books. So one stage, one of them actually kills one of them, which, you know, given that it's fantasy, doesn't really matter that much. They all end up good friends anyway, and though there's no zombies in it. So there's... You can do all sorts of things in fantasy, and so no, the relationships are strained, difficult, argumentative, but pretty strong all the way through. I enjoy that very much, the interplay.
Wonderful. Now, we were talking earlier, before we started recording, about world building, and you were talking about how your scientific background gives you a particular focus, I guess, when you're world building. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Unlike yourself, a historian who builds stories on your historical understanding of cultures, I look at the scientific thing of how cultures may have begun based on the kind of world you're living in. See, we live in a world which has seasons which recur regularly as a result of the tilt of our axis. And so we have a way of measuring time, which is to say it's summer, and then a little while later you have another summer. So we call that a year. The world that I've created doesn't have an axial tilt. It has a circular orbit around its sun. So there's no obvious defining characteristic that defines how long it takes the planet to go around the sun. And so they have to come up with a different way of constructing time and measuring time. And so they don't have seasons, so they use the orbit of their two moons, So, yeah, that kind of thing. And also enjoy the tectonics and the meteorology and how those things combine to place cities and how the placement of cities builds cultural interaction. So, yeah, I enjoy that a lot.
So doing all that, like, pre-work of building your world from the ground up, does it make it feel more like a real place to you?
Oh, very much so. Mm. Yeah, definitely. I've built the world. I've even constructed some mythology and some history in terms of the interaction of the various countries over an extended period of time, including battles and famines and invasions and all that sort of stuff. And that creates, if you like, a form of racism.
Okay.
And once you start getting there, you have a rich source for interaction of different characters.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's good fun.
So you put so much work into your worlds. Is it a wrench to leave them after the third book? Is it, you know, do you feel like you want to be working, putting more books into a world because you've spent so much time constructing them, or?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because I've enjoyed the world, but no, because I've just spent several years there and I think it's time for a break. I may go back to it because, as you said, I put a lot of work in, but I've told the story I wanted to tell there,
mm-hmm.
and it's still there. There's still plenty there to play with. But at the moment, I'm happy to write it, go on to the next one.
So the next world as well as the next trilogy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I saw you making little notes in your notebook throughout the day. Are you very you're rude. Planning? You know, you're planning the next trilogy.
Yes, I have. Yes. I've finished the trilogy that I'm currently holding up that listeners can't see, and I'm planning a new world.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dark World, and the publishers are looking at it hopefully as we speak, and hopefully I'll find out fairly soon whether they like it or not. In which case, there'd be another trilogy on the way.
Okay, so is there anything else you can tell us about it at the stage, or is it still just really, really tentative?
Oh, no, it's 100,000 words long at the moment.
Oh, okay, so you've got one
more than tentative. Yeah. and in fact, I've invested quite a bit of time. No, it's called Dark World, and it's I'm tinkering with what is a fairly well-used trope, but I'm tinkering with a crossover
mm-hmm.
structure where you've got what people moving from a real world to a fantasy world and getting confused as to which one's which. A little bit Thomas Covenant, but without the character of Thomas Covenant.
Mm.
A little bit Narnia, but without the whole Narnian feel. It's a lot darker. It's based in gaming.
Okay.
And four chapters of it actually occur at SwanCon, which is where we are now.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, there's a fair bit. I love SwanCon, mm-hmm. and so I've enjoyed just pulling a few little ties in here and there. So SwanCon plays a bit of a part in the transition from this world to what I've called Dark World.
Okay, so is this the first time you've written something set in the real world, for want of a better word?
In terms of fantasy, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And is that different? Like, is it easier or harder to write something set in a place that you actually know as opposed to something of your imagination?
That's a really difficult thing to answer because they both have their difficulties. Obviously, if you're writing in this world, then people know it.
Yeah.
And if you get something which they think is wrong, yeah, you're going to get told off. People are going to criticise you. But no one's going to criticise me about the dark world because they've never been there. They don't know what it looks like. But then again, I have to create it in the first place. So, no, it's difficult to say which is harder. Yeah. They both have their own difficulties.
So I'm wondering now, is this going to be the first epic fantasy novel partly set in Perth?
That would be nice.
You've got to find that out, because that would be a selling point, surely, at least locally.
Yeah. Well, I've based some of it in a shop which is just down the road, a shop called Tactics in London Court in Perth. A wonderful little shop down there, great people who run it, and I actually went down there and had a chat with them a while ago and said, look, do you mind if I base a story here? And they all looked at me and went, okay. I didn't tell them that at some stage it may get totally destroyed by a random monster, but no, find that out.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, they can go, hey, this is the shop that got destroyed in this book.
Yeah, so that's good. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully publishers will like it as much as I am enjoying it. And we'll go from there.
So do you have a background in gaming? Is that something that you've done a lot of?
Yeah, I played Dungeons & Dragons when I was at uni.
Okay.
And like most of us did back then, and loved it, played it for many years. Still watch fantasy, still read fantasy, still play fantasy games, written modules to play and gaming, and played lots of different games. So, yeah.
So is that really how you got started writing fantasy? Did the writing come first or the gaming?
Gaming came first. my first experience with actual reading fantasy was Lord of the Rings, actually, in year 10 when I started to read that for the first time. I read that extensively for many years. It became like my comfort food, Lord of the Rings. Yeah. I used to read it every exam time at uni, which is kind of scary, when I should have been studying. And then I started playing gaming at uni, and just went from there, and I started to write campaigns for the games. And one day, you know, I sort of forgot about the players and just kept writing a campaign.
I was going to say, it must be kind of nice to be the one that decides what all the characters do.
Oh, look, player characters are so annoying in gaming. They keep going off and doing whatever they want, which is just irritating. You build this beautiful world and they want to go off in the other direction and destroy bits you haven't created yet. That's kind of scary. But no, characters in books are usually more behaved, better behaved than that.
Oh, but that's good.
Usually.
Now, your day job, you're a science teacher, is that
yes,
right? Do your students read your books?
Yes, they do. They're lovely, actually. They're really nice about it. They're very positive and they're supportive and they ask me the right questions. And every now and then I have the difficult ethical issue of we're doing some work and a student's not doing the work he should be doing. I say he because I work at boys' school. And I go to reprimand the boy and he looks up and says, but sir, I'm reading your book. How do you reprimand
it's like
the student?
Ultimate get out, isn't it? Do they all have like a secret, just a prop?
I haven't checked on that, but I have to work that one out. Yeah,
you might.
So it's very hard to argue when, oh, I'm reading your book, sir. Oh, while you're here, could you sign it for me? Oh, come on.
They've learned how to read
it.
Learned
very well. It's great. Difficult voice.
Okay, well, thank you for talking to me.
My pleasure.
Yes, so your current release is Slave of Sondel.
Sondel.
Book one of the 11 Kingdoms.
Yes.
I always said Elven.
A lot of people do that.
You do, because, book one of the 11 Kingdoms. And it's out now. It's got a gorgeous cover.
I love the cover.
It's
beautiful. And the other two in the series are in the same pattern of cover. Mm. So they're really nice. I love them.
That's wonderful. Okay, Devin McGuinness, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.